السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الدرج الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I just came across an incident very beautiful regarding a very great scholar, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh. Many of the seniors will have heard his name in terms of one who possessed immense knowledge, had a photographic memory, and one of our senior scholars of hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of those scholars who have become a means for us to be who we are today and for Islam to have reached us in the way it has. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in the best of ways. It says regarding him that on one occasion he was in Medina Munawwara, the illuminated and the blessed city. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all there very soon. We see the restrictions are easing and the people are coming and going now, alhamdulillah, slowly but surely. We make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst those people who are given the opportunity to visit the blessed illuminated city again and again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged people to visit Madina Munawwara. And he said, if you can't stay here, at least come and die here. Because anybody who dies in Madina Munawwara, I will be an intercessor for them on the day of Qiyamah. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, whilst in Madina Munawwara, he says, outside Masjid Nabawi, from where you can see the beautiful green dome, beneath which lies the paragon of Allah's creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, outside in this courtyard area, there was a time of the day where we would have our meals outside. So we would have meals, whether it was iftar or it was something else. Anyhow, we would sit here and we would have a few bites to eat. He says, every day I noticed, not very far from where we used to sit, there was a young boy sitting there. And he looked very, very poor. He was all alone. He looked very, very poor. And it seems there was no one with him. So Maulana says, I invited him, said, come and, beta, come and eat with us. So he came and he joined us and he ate the meal. The following day, same thing happened. We sat to eat. Very beautiful place where you can see the green dome just above the where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried. And I invited him and he came again to eat with us. And this continued happening for a few days. And we developed a kind of bond and relationship. He got to know us, we got to know him. And he enjoyed our company, we enjoyed his company. And when the time came for Maulana to leave, he was from India, and he says, the time came for us to leave. So I approached the boy, he said, and I said to him that, look, we are leaving today. Our flight is at this time. Why don't you also come with us? We'll get you enrolled in one of our madrasas there. You can study the Quran. You can become an alim of the deen. And we will try and support you in the ways that we can. And the young boy said, look, I'm ready to come. And I can see that you're willing to give me clothing, food, money, knowledge, everything you can give me. But I have just one question, Maulana. When I come to India, he pointed towards the Green Dome. He goes, ye bhi mujhe doge? Will I get this there as well? And Maulana says, I burst into tears. That a young boy who has nothing, he says, you can give me wealth, you can give me food, you can give me clothing. But if I don't get this, where am I going to get this experience? Being close to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Jazakallahu khairan for your offer. But I would rather stay here without any food, without any clothing, without any family, because I have the companionship on the closeness and I'm in the vicinity and the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this blessed month of Rabi'il Awwal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The poet said very beautifully that I did not praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my poetry. Rather, it was the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that praised my words. By mentioning his name, our words become elevated. And he was elevated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to elevate and raise your mention. Your mention is going to be highly raised. And he is the praised one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where do we start? What do we begin with? What do we mention? What do we not mention? In such little time to try and speak and discuss the beautiful life and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's next to impossible for anyone to make justice on this particular topic. Very beautifully, Allama Manawi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned something amazing. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes very evident when we open the Quran. Because as we open the Quran and go through the pages, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed, categorically mentioned, and hinted towards every body part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He speaks about the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He speaks about the limbs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He speaks about the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He speaks about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you love somebody, you want to mention everything about them, all different aspects of their life. Nevertheless, in the short time that we have, let us take one aspect from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let's just touch upon it. We cannot go into detail. And that is, I just want to mention the miraculous nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with so many miracles. All of the prophets were given various miracles, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with thousands. And the idea is that we study the beautiful life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and increase our love for him, become closer to him and follow in his ways, because this is the easiest way to reach the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In honor for the blessed arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mawlid al-Nabawi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made many arrangements in this world. One of the arrangements was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarded the heavens. Prior to the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinn, they would climb on top of each other. They would reach the heavens and many a time steal the heavenly secrets. The discussions the malaika were having in the heavens, they would steal this news. You know, we call it sky news. So they would steal this news, these discussions, these orders, these commands, which were coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, one occasion what happens, the jinn start to climb on each other. And as they are climbing on each other and they reach the top, a shooting star comes and shoots them. And this is the reason for the shooting star. And they aren't able to hear the news of the heavens. Upon which they realize something great must have happened. You know, sometimes you're driving on a very familiar road. You go on there regularly. Whether it be the motorway, whether it be an A or a B road. It's your regular route. You know it inside out, like the back of your hand. And you arrive and it's blocked. And there's all diversions. Or there's police cars, or there's roadblocks. And you think, right, something must have happened. And because it's your route, you want to know, you want to find out what's going on. What's going on? Why do I not have access today? So the jinn, they realize that something great must have happened. And this was the preparation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was making, amongst other preparations of preparing this world for the arrival of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the heavenly news now, the divine revelation is going to be protected, and the jinn and the shayateen will not be able to steal and snatch any of the news. And then later on we find that this group of jinn that tried to go and ascend and listen to the heavenly news, when they realized they were blocked, they went, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. We have Suratul Jinn in the Quran. So this happens later on. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst reciting Quran, this group of jinn, they are now searching, what has happened? Why are we blocked access? And they come across the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the Quran, and they listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they realize this is what it is, and they accept Islam also. They came to inquire, and now they are going wallaw ila qawmihim mundirin. Now they are going as warners to their own people that the last prophet of all time has arrived. Not only humans, we find the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how much love they possess for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had cupping done. We know cupping has become very popular nowadays. Be careful though, be careful, not every person is a doctor. So these are medical procedures, make sure you tread with caution. On one side, yes, cupping is a sunnah, but it's not sunnah for everybody to carry out. And it's not sunnah for everybody to undergo this treatment. It might not be according to your health conditions at the time. And the person carrying out also needs to know what they are doing. It's an invasive procedure. It's going into your body. It's not something as simple as, you know, eating with your right hand. These are things, sunnahs that everybody can do. Or, you know, when you're wearing your clothes, you start with the right. However, cupping is something a little bit further, and not every person can start thinking, right, I'm going to become a hijama practitioner. And it's something that's become, anyway, let's not get diverted. So just be careful, look after yourselves. Nevertheless, one Sahabi, he carried out cupping on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that go and dispose of the blood. And he went, he took the blood and he supposedly disposed of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, did you dispose of it? He said, yes. What did you do with it? He said, I drank it. He said, seriously, you drank it? He said, yes, I drank it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that know that the fire of hell will not touch you. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were on another level. The disbelievers and the leaders of the disbelievers, when they witnessed the Sahaba with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, we have never seen any people love their master the way the Sahaba loved the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when he spits, they fight to catch the saliva. Even when he make wudu, the drops of water trickling from his body, they fight one another to try and take those droplets and put it on their bodies. And if any of them doesn't get any part of that moisture, they rub their hand on the Sahabi's hand who has a little bit of the moisture from the droplets of wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they can also benefit from it as well. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were Sahaba. But even animals. There are so many incidents in the books of hadith, in the books of history, that speak about animals. In Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi mentions that there was an incident where a sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my camel has become insane. It's gone totally mad. I don't know what's happened. It's gone crazy. Can you like do something? Can you read something? Can you help me out? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to some of the sahaba, come on, let's go. Let's see what's wrong. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrives at the scene, the Sahabi says, O Messenger of Allah, please be careful. This camel is really mad. It's insane. I don't want it to attack you. Let me protect you from it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you protect yourself, look after yourself. I'll be okay. Don't worry about me. And as they enter in, when the camel sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba say, the camel went forward. It bowed down. It bowed his head and then went into prostration in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if it was submitting directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, it's as if this camel knows that you are the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, you're talking about this camel? Everything in the universe knows that I am the messenger of Allah, except for the human and the jinn. Everything in the heavens and the earth knows and recognizes that I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it be the trees, the mountains, the leaves. Sahaba say, many a times we'd be walking in the streets and we would pass the leaves of the trees. We would pass the stones. We would pass the bricks. And from them, audibly, we would hear them calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they would say to him, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. We would hear this. Sahaba say, we heard this. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Who's saying this? Stones, trees, bricks. These are things that we think don't have any life, are nothing whatsoever. And they are calling on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recognizing his status. If there's anybody who hasn't recognized his status, it's you and I. It's this human being. It's us, mankind, who should have recognized his status. Whereas these animals are recognizing the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trees. Sahaba say, on one occasion we were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We came to a village. There was a villager standing there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, will you not accept that I am the messenger of Allah? Will you not enter the fold of Islam? For the fold of Islam, the villager said, you know, he's being sarcastic, and he said that I will accept Islam if this tree behind me witnesses that you're a prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine. He said to the tree, come on over here. Come on over here and explain to this villager who I am. Sahaba say, we saw with our own eyes the tree uprooted. It walked. It came into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it said, Ashhadu annaka abdullahi wa rasulu. I bear witness that you are the servant and the messenger of Allah. And immediately the villager put out his hand and he said, accept me in the fold of Islam. Accept me as one of your followers. These are trees. The incident of Jabir radiallahu anhu is very famous, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again is out away from home. He needed to answer the call of nature. There was nowhere where he could seek privacy to answer the call of nature. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jabir, come here. Can you see that tree over there on the top of the mountain? Go and tell the tree, come over here onto this side. And you can see the other tree over there? Go and summon that tree. Say, the messenger of Allah is calling you. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I followed the instruction of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went and spoke to the tree and I said, the messenger of Allah is calling you. I went to the other one and I told the tree, the messenger of Allah is calling you. He says, I saw with my own eyes, they uprooted and they began running towards the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until they became a protective shield. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered the call of nature. He says, I was looking the other way. When I turned back and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished, I saw one tree running that direction. I saw the other tree running in the other direction. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him. He granted him miracles. Allah honored him. Allah beautified him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him his beloved. So trees, stones, leaves, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions the other anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, salamun ala nuhin fil alameen, salamun ala ibrahim, salamun ala ilyasin, salamun ala musa wa harun, salam on musa and harun alayhi salam, salam on nuh alayhi salam, salam on prophet yasin alayhi salam and his family, salamun ala musa wa harun. But when it came to the beloved Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't say salamun ala Muhammad, wa salamun ala nabi, wa salamun ala ahmad. He said, inna allaha. Anybody who knows Arabic will appreciate this. Inna allaha, emphasis. Inna allaha. And then he uses ismul jalala. Inna allaha. And not only Allah, he says, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna. Again, there is istimrar. There is continuity, perpetually, continuously, before, now, and forever. Indeed. Indeed, Almighty Allah on his angels continuously, perpetually, yusalluna ala nabi. They are always sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. O people who claim to believe, are you people of la ilaha illallah? Allah is saying, you claim to believe, you also join Allah and His angels in continuously, perpetually sending salutations upon Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read with me, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. On one occasion, there was a Jewish woman who poisoned the food of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is about to eat it. He told the Sahaba, don't eat from the food, it's poison. Sahaba said, how do you know? He said, the food told me. Sahaba say, when we were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and we would be eating the food, they say, wallahi, we would hear the food praising Allah. It's not an Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi goes on to explain. It's not as if the food and these stones and pebbles, they only made the mention of Allah's name when they were in His presence. No, because they are always remembering Allah. Wa im min shay'in, Allah says, wa im min shay'in illa yusabbihu bihamdi rabbihim walakin la tafqahuna tasbihahum. Everything remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the heavens and the earth makes the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amazing thing was, when the Sahaba came into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this dhikr and tasbih would become audible. It would become audible when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the pebbles. And the pebbles are saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Similarly, we have an incident, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says, Sahaba are traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came across a deer. The deer was tied up and the villager was sleeping. The master was sleeping beneath it. And the deer was moaning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaches the deer, and the deer says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this person, this master of mine, has tied me up, whereas I have two of my children up in the mountain, and I want to go and feed them, but I can't. What can I do? Look at my condition. And they are probably waiting for me to return. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, well, if I free you and allow you to go, will you return? The deer says, O Prophet of Allah, the deer is speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, yes, I will return. And the deer goes, feeds the children, and he returns to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as promised. The villager wakes up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, what is happening? Do you want this deer? I can give it to you. He says, yes, I will take it. He set the deer free. Sahabi says, I heard the deer running back to his children, and it was saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. In the hadith book of Tirmidhi, we find an incident that happened amongst the Sahaba, that there was once a shepherd who took his sheep for grazing. And as he was grazing his sheep, what happens? A wolf came and took one of the sheep. So the Sahabi, he ran behind the wolf and he said, give my sheep back to me, it's mine. And the wolf spoke. And the wolf said to the Sahabi, that don't snatch my rizq. This is my rizq. This is my provision. So the Sahabi says, Subhanallah, a wolf is speaking? Wolves speak nowadays? So the wolf then said, that what's more, you're finding this strange. What's more stranger than this is, there is a man who claims that he is the last prophet of all times, and he is calling people to the deen of Allah, and you're still here. He goes to search the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he comes across him, he accepts Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called the rest of the Sahaba and he told him to narrate the story. There are many, many, many other incidents. We know the splitting of the moon. And I conclude on mentioning, at the time of Khandaq, we find it was a very difficult time at the Battle of Trenches, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi alayhi wasallam himself had two stones tied upon his stomach, and there was starvation, there was hunger. And Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu recognized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in a state of hunger. He quickly goes to his house and he asks his wife, "Do we have any food?" There was a small sheep. He says, "Cook it, I will invite the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." What happens after this? She cooks the meal, and Jabir radiallahu anhu quietly comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says, "I recognize you are hungry. My wife has cooked us a meal. It's not much. If you come with only 10 sahaba, you know when you invite a number of people and it's 5, it has to be 5. If you bring along any more, then you might not be allowed back in the house later on. You know how it is." So what happens? "O Prophet of Allah, only 10 people." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Okay, that's great." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam calls out to the people of "Ya ahl al-Khandaq, halumma ila ghada Jabir." "O people of Khandaq, let's go. Food's on the house at Jabir's house." So everybody starts coming. And Jabir radiallahu anhu, you can tell, you can imagine how, you know, worried he was. He told Jabir, "Don't open the pots. Don't look inside, and gather the women of the house on one side until I arrive." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived. He took out his blessed saliva sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that blessed saliva which cured the sick, that blessed saliva which made the salty water sweet, that blessed saliva which fixed the eye of a sahabi, that blessed saliva which played many, many miracles. He placed his blessed saliva. And then they said, "Don't look inside," and start serving. And they started to serve the food. And the food was served to all the people of Khandaq. Do you know how many people there were? There were more than 1,000 people present. More than 1,000 people ate from this meal. And Jabir radiallahu anhu says, "When we finished the meal, it seems there was more food left before we started. There was more food left than before we started." And one of the books mentioned, the book's bones were put together and the sheep was once again revived. He says, "I took this sheep." My wife said, "What's this?" He said, "We have the sheep back as well, and we have the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." You know, the tree, the stones, the earth, the animals recognize the rank of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us in this blessed month also recognize the rank of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.